Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two. Bart and Han. Ty Butler in for Allen. Bart Scott on till 3 o'clock, leading you into the K Show. Spirited debate in that first hour. I don't know how we stumbled upon it, but you know, in mentioning the story that came out yesterday, Scottie Pippen, Luke Longley, Horace Grant are going to do their own 90s Chicago Bulls No Bull Tour, where they get to tell their version of what took place during that dynastic run that did not necessarily get told during The Last Dance, somehow morphed into a heated discussion about who was more important to their respective dynasty, and it was Draymond versus Scottie Pippen. And I will acknowledge, because someone just hit me on Twitter, at Ty D. Butler, saying that Kevin Durant kind of changes the whole landscape of this, because like, he's the best player on the team. He wins both finals MVP. So that, you know, I was looking at it more from the standpoint of the non-KD years. But I just went with
only two championships. Then.
Only two championships. But once KD comes into the equation, you know, J.J. Redick said this on First Take yesterday. He's like, you know, he was with the Clippers at the time. He said, our championship window's closed. Like, we knew immediately, like, outside of injury, which did happen for them in 2019, there was no chance that they were going to lose that, that the Warriors were going to lose any championships while KD was there. Knicks back in action tonight. You've got the Sixers playing without Joel Embiid. Ramona Shelbourne reporting yesterday that there's a chance, glimmer of hope, that he could return before the end of the regular season. Bart, I got to say this, man, and we'll hear from Tom Thibodeau, Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like to me the conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks has swung too far in the wrong direction. Because I get it. They're 3-7 since Doc has arrived. Their defense is awful. Losing Jrue Holiday was a big deal. Yes, you add Dame, but Drew's defense and his leadership, that's a significant part of why they're struggling on defense. I actually think Grayson Allen, who's lighting it up with Phoenix, they miss him. Malik Beasley hasn't given them much. So there's a lot that's wrong with the Bucks. But man, if you listen to, like, you know, the national media talk about Milwaukee, you would think that this is a team destined to be drafting in the lottery. I still well, think that they're a great basketball team that, yes, has flaws, but you give me Giannis, Dame, and Middleton in a playoff series, I still feel good about them.
And when you talk about everybody that we believe is going to be there or potentially there at the end, it's all predicated on health.
Yeah.
Right? When you talk about, you know, Middleton, you're concerned about his health. When you talk about, you know, out in Boston, you talk about Porzingis and his health.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the Knicks, you're talking about OG, Randall, and the guys that are injured now, maybe Mitchell Robinson coming back. And I think health is going to be the determining factor. But when you talk about Milwaukee, you know, even more than the Knicks, more than the Sixers, you know, you talk about championship or bust, and it's legitimate, right? Mm-hmm. When you go at a guy like Dame Dolla, and oddly enough, the counter for Dame Dolla for Boston was Jrue Holiday, and the reason why they're where they're at is because Jrue Holiday's ability to shut people down is, you know, kind of like the swing of power. Now, I know when Milwaukee traded him, they thought that he was going to the Western Conference and they could get away from him. But, you know, that could be a collision course for the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. But when you talk about that, that's why I think it's so extreme. It's not, they're not talking like, okay, well, they're just trash. You talk to them about, you know, maybe a team that could struggle with the Knicks if they play the Knicks, or struggle if Joel Embiid is able to come back, where before you thought it was a far-gone conclusion that they were going to be one of the two teams still standing in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that doesn't look like it's such a slam dunk.
Yeah. So I agree with that. Like, I just feel like there's been an overcorrection. Like, if you want to say Milwaukee right now doesn't look as good as we thought they would be, now, the proof is in the fact that halfway through the season they fired their first-year head coach, then sure. But, you know, I'm listening to DPHR and Rothenberg this morning. Dan Gross is filling in for Rick. And he kind of just, like, said with conviction, like, yeah, you know, Knicks see the Bucks in the playoffs, They don't really scare me as much, which maybe not as much as they did.
It's because you can match up with them now, and you have multiple bodies to throw at Dame. You have multiple bodies. You can exploit.
But you're still petrified of playing them. And by the way, Bart, you look at the standings right now. Here's 3, 4, and 5 in the East. It's Bucks, Knicks, Sixers, all separated by one game. What does that mean? It means on the table is Bucks, Knicks in round one. And you can't tell me if you're a Knicks fan. I don't care what the struggles are happening in Milwaukee. You feel great about facing them right off the bat in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want that work that quickly.
That early,
It depends on.
Especially as you're like welcoming
You're trying to get chemistry and get
guys
the rotations
back.
Together.
Yeah.
You're trying to get the rotations back. And, you know, I tell you one thing. The Bucks are hoping they ain't got to face Indiana. You know, that's the dark horse, in my opinion.
They score a lot of points.
Well, they know how to isolate Brook Lopez and get him, you know, overextended because Turner's ability to shoot the three. And, you know, they haven't lost to the Bucks. So styles make fights, right? And, you know, you would think that the Knicks, because their depth and their length, now are able maybe to compete a little bit more with Boston than, say, they were at the beginning of the year. When you talk about Boston and their extreme length, I can remember going there the first game and watching how – you know, Porzingis was just shutting people down. You know, and guys were – he was altering shots. Guys were afraid to go in.
Yep. He's a difference maker on both ends.
Right.
He spreads the floor. And then defensively, he – like, it's not always going to show up in the blocks. He's deterring guys from the rim. He's getting deflections. So, yeah, to your point, that's huge. But, man
– that train's usually never late, though, too, for him.
Oh, getting injured.
Right.
I mean, he was healthy last year.
Yeah, but that train is usually never late, right? So that means it's about due. It's running a little behind, but it's usually due. And, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on Al Horford. You know, he's great as a guy coming off and you don't have to depend on him, but you don't want him playing, you know, plus minutes without, you know, with what's going on. You know, so for me, the East is so wide open. I mean,
I don't know if it's wide open.
I think it is. I mean, if Joel Embiid comes back, I wouldn't, you know, be surprised if he's able to get back, you know, to that MVP type of level.
But we never see that MVP type of level in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you know, being injured, you know, it's still taking miles off. Now you got to worry about him not being in shape. But you know, he was in an MVP type of trajectory.
Yeah, he was. He was.
So
he
now,
was the
so
favorite.
Now if he comes back and he misses all the regular season, you know what happens is the other things heal. Like when one thing is hurt and you get in surgery on one thing, it allows the other things to heal too. So the question is, can he get back in enough time where he's able to get his conditioning up? It's kind of the same thing we're going to ask about Mitchell Robinson, right? Can he get back to the point where conditioning isn't a problem and he can be effective and give you good minutes? Now, you need way less minutes from Mitchell Robinson than you're going to expect from Joel Embiid, but – They're both important, and as those are both legitimate questions that you have to ask yourself. You know, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, Indiana is, like to me, a dark horse, and now the Cavs are playing at a high level. So before we thought this was going to be a four-team race, would you be surprised if Cleveland upset somebody in the first round?
No, I wouldn't, especially because it looks like they're going to have home court.
Right, and I wouldn't be surprised as well if Indiana upsets the Bucks in the first round. And if that happens, then we got to have a whole nother discussion because now you're asking yourself, yo.
Oh, man, then all hell breaks loose.
Well, Giannis won't out.
Yeah, if that happens, all hell is going to break loose. I just think that people can, on one hand, acknowledge there are some serious issues in Milwaukee as far as, the on-court stuff. Like, we don't love their defense, but
they're getting old.
At the end of the day, if you tell me I've got a healthy Giannis, Dame, and Middleton, I feel good in just about any playoff series.
It's no such thing as a healthy that, right? We know it's a battle of attrition, but would you say that you feel confident if their first matchup is Indiana?
Yeah, because
Indiana owns them.
They're in the regular season. The Bucks have championship experience.
They owned them before they even drafted, brought Siakam over.
No, I get that, but I'm saying playoffs are a different animal. And as fun as this team is with the Pacers, they've never been there before.
Yeah.
Miles Turner has some playoff experience under his belt.
They were there last year, right?
But I'm saying, like, as far as, like, having actual, you know, success.
Expectations, okay.
Yeah, and now that the expectations are legitimizing itself because they've got, you know, an all-star in Tyrese Halliburton and people are starting to buy some stock into Indiana, it's different when you're going up against Giannis. And I think that we owe him that deference. The fact that he's a champion, he's been there and done it before, we got to see. But
he was a champion last year. He got his ass sent home by Jimmy Buckets.
He did. I mean, he also got hurt in the series, but yeah, missing.
We don't even talk about Jimmy Buckets in Miami.
Well, because we don't talk about them until the playoffs roll around. And Butler's been hurt. Here was Julius Randle, because that's a big question, too. I don't think, and this is not even all that controversial to say, there's really no path to the Knicks having any type of success in the playoffs that does not include Julius Randle not just being healthy, but being Julius Randle, which we haven't seen so far through his first 15 playoff games. Here was him yesterday, asked, when will you be back?
I think I plan to be on the court April 1st, probably. Yeah, just kidding. Gotcha. No, I'm just taking a day at a time, man, to be honest. Every day I'm getting stronger, I'm getting better. So just taking a day at a time, just continue just to try to just stay locked in on, you know, what I have to do, to continue just to get healthy, not just physically, but mentally as well, you know.
He was also asked, will you eventually need repairs done?
We'll see. You know, I've heard many different opinions. Both. We'll see. I like how I feel today as far as, you know, getting better and feeling stronger and progressing to where I need to be as far as getting on the court. But I'm never somebody to say never. So ultimately, you know, I have to do what's best for, you know, myself to have a long career and, you know, have longevity in this. But training staff has been great, getting me back healthy and, you know, feeling better. So it's a progress.
Bro, you don't even need your non-shooting arm. What are we talking about?
I mean,
you don't need your non-shooting arm, bro.
It's a physical sport. Were you expecting to play with one arm? Going up against Giannis and Embiid?
No. Like, what I'm saying is, if it popped back in, even if it is a partially torn labrum, you're not asking that arm to shoot the ball. Basketball player.
But you're asking him to set screens. I mean, go up for rebound. What are you talking about?
But, bro, it's a dislocated shoulder, man. It's not. Even if he has a torn labrum, that doesn't hurt. What hurts the stuff that's out is like putting your hand above your head or swinging it.
Yeah,
you don't have to swing it.
I mean, playing basketball, you're not going to need to at any point put your hand above your head.
Not your off shoulder, bro. Like, trust me, I'm telling you. Like, he could be back if he wanted to. He could be back now.
Nah, I disagree. I feel like,
honestly,
especially if you're posting up on a block, you have your shooting hand out, but your offhand, like, it.
The fact
it's
that you're
important.
Entertaining this, Jacob.
Bro,
come on.
What do you mean? Chris Webber had it. Kept falling out. He kept playing.
Man.
It's long as it, like, listen, when you have a subluxation. Right, whether it comes out, he had it put back in. You worry about, okay, when it came back in, did it strip the joint? Right, that's what happened with Chris Webber. Then you ask yourself, okay, did it damage the soft tissue tendons? Right, and like, do you have any micro tears? Like, I have still like a couple of tears, micro tears in my left shoulder from football. Like, that I decided not to get surgery. So it messes up my rotator cuff as far as being able to move my arm, like, up and back. Say, like, if I was, like, you know, those little Chinese cats that you get that wave back and forth, right? It stops that. My shoulder doesn't go all the way back. But it's no pain, man. It's no pain. And, like, somebody running into it doesn't hurt. His shoulder, you think his shoulder hurts a month from now? Like,
absolutely.
His shoulder. No, I'm telling you, bro. Trust me. I'm telling
so,
you.
So why isn't he playing? Why isn't he playing? If what you're saying, and look, everyone's different. I'm going to defer to the professional athlete who's, you know, been there and done that. But what would be the reason why, if everything you're saying is true, that he's just deciding that the doctors know more than you do?
Well, they're being cautious, right, because there's no need to rush back. They want to get him back in shape, right, get him ramped up. Right before he get out there, because you don't want to come here and have a soft tissue hamstring issue. But as far as his ability to play and come back, it's not going to affect his shot. It's not going to affect him setting screens and picks, because what happens when you set a screen and pick, your arms are below your shoulders. They're not up in the air. They're down. So
yeah, unless someone runs into your shoulder.
But that's not going to hurt it. It's back in socket, bro. It's not. Trust me. It's not going to hurt it. You're compact. It only hurts or something if it's exposed. He ain't tackling nobody. He ain't putting his arm out there trying to pull something in.
So
he's
you,
just putting his hands
someone,
up and swinging
if
at the ball.
If he's setting a screen and someone not, tries to, someone as big or bigger than him tries to
not,
run through
not,
that screen on the side,
it's not
going to
do
anything.
Not anything. The shoulder is back in socket.
He goes up for a rebound. Not going to do anything. Well,
no.
He has to extend
what,
both
no,
of his
what
arms.
You have to worry about is him falling and trying to stop himself from falling and seeing if it could supplement, could come back out partially. If it's stripped, if the joint's stripped. If anybody remember what Chris Webber went through when he first started playing when he was in Golden State, and sometimes his shoulder kept coming out. He had it stripped the joint coming out, right? So it kept falling out. Remember Chris Webber and that shoulder that he had with Golden State? I'm telling you, it's not going to affect and it's not going to hurt because when you're setting screens or something like that, you have your arms down. It's
well,
in the
all
so-
I know is
back
they
in the socket.
They still haven't ruled out season-ending surgery, which tells me this might be more severe than – and look, again, you are a professional athlete,
that's
so I'm going
to
defer
to
you. But there's a chance he could still have season-ending surgery.
Man, he can play. He can play through that, man. Like, so you have a rotator cuff, you have a labrum. That's pretty much what you have under there. You have the stuff underneath your scapula. Like you see athletes play all the time, right? You see football players. If you look at Raekwon Smith, he has a shoulder harness that attaches it that doesn't let him to it protects it from having to take all the brunt of the front. He can play, man. Like it,
all
that's,
right, Julius,
that's not an issue.
Get out there, bro. Bart, Bart, we need to.
It's no need to rush him back because you're not in dire need.
You know what I'm concerned about? So let's just say he does come back and he is. As close to healthy as possible where he can play.
Yeah.
Julius in his playoff career has been awful. So now on top of trying to endure pain management against elite competition, you've got to focus on that mental hurdle to overcome where, you know, you've got to become a playoff performer, which we've never seen. What? That's a concern of mine I'm a Knick fan.
Yeah, he has better players around him, so it's not all on him. He's not going to have, like, where he's going to isolate, get the ball. He got shooters to throw the ball to, so he's not going to get the ball late in the shot clock and people play for the spin and just wait for that. He's going to be able – and they're not going to be able to double up and continue to, like, take the ball out of Brunson's hand like we saw with Dallas and all the other teams that you kind of blitz them because when everybody's back healthy, just like Jake, didn't I tell you exactly what they were going to do and to OG? Because I had the same injury. I told you exactly what the recovery time was. And what did they say 2 days later after I said the same thing?
Literally said he was going to get cleaned out and he should be evaluated and good to go in a couple weeks.
And it looks like he's on that timeline. So the Knicks now have six guys. And this is like one of my biggest concerns. Because if you think that their ceiling is, you know, championship contention, it means you're banking on them being healthy enough to the standpoint where that's not a legitimate question. So we're talking about Dante DiVincenzo. We're talking about Bojan Bogdanovic. We're talking about OG, Randall, and Hartenstein. So that's five guys. And Mitchell Robinson's kind of, you know, an X factor.
Yeah,
so we'll just leave him on the outskirts. Like, he's a luxury. So five of your 10, so half of your playoff rotation, you're banking on all coming back, being healthy, sustaining that health, and being as good or better than they were before they got hurt.
That's
a lot to ask, man.
Well, but for me, like the blessing in disguise is you saw that Achiuwa can do some things that you didn't think he could do, right? That you never would have realized, and like you can spread out some of the responsibilities, you know, whether they all get back healthy or not. Like Tibbs is going to have one of the deepest rotations in all of basketball because of the quality of depth that they have. And so they're going to be able to rest some guys like Brunson, like DiVincenzo, and bring them back slowly that they're peaking right when the playoffs are about to start. I have no concerns about – I have more concerns about LeBron's ankle than I do about anybody's injury for the Knicks.
Yeah, why is he not – I saw that. That came across yesterday. He's out because of an ankle injury. He just played 14 minutes in the All-Star game.
Right.
Tonight, I mean, that's if you're TNC, you're red hot about that. Warriors Lakers is the second part of your doubleheader, and LeBron's not going to play because of an ankle injury.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Boston without him. So, I mean, this is the Anthony Davis show. So, you know, let him continue to play at the high level that he's playing at. Yeah, I think that's good.
800-919-3776. Let's hit Cullum in the Bronx real quick. What's up, Cullum?
What's going on, Todd?
What's up,
bro? I wanted to get into the Knicks, but really quick, I want to try to end that debate with, you know, the Draymond and, you know, Dennis Rodman. Personally, to me, I take Dennis Rodman because I look at Draymond Green and I think he's a system player. He's obviously exceptional in that system, but we've seen Dennis Rodman not only do it with the Bulls, but he did it with a completely other system and organization and win championships. I don't think you take Draymond Green, and I you could give plenty of examples. I don't know if I got the perfect example, but let's say you put Draymond Green right now on the Mavericks. They got Kyrie Irving and they got Luka Doncic, probably similar to the level of Klay and Steph. You think now Draymond Green, you put him there for his career, that's a dynasty franchise team, you know, winning four championships? I don't know. He's had the system where he had two non-ball dominant guards, you know, Steve Kerr, that system. I don't think you put Draymond Green anywhere in the NBA and he's a Hall of Famer.
Everything you're saying is right, and I don't disagree with any of that. It also doesn't have anything to do with the point I was making about, like, his level of importance to the Warriors dynasty versus what Rodman meant to the Bulls dynasty. So we're arguing two different things. Because I'm not looking at head-to-head who's better between Rodman and Draymond. I think Dennis is the better overall player and had the more successful career. Right? We're just talking about power ranking respective dynasties.
But there you go, throwing that in there, more successful career. You can't do that. When you say career, that means the whole thing.
Yeah, Dennis has
five.
That's what I just said. He had the more successful career, Dennis.
Okay.
But your other point about the Knicks, Colin, let me hear.
So obviously, you know, excluding OG and Randall, it seems like every player is going to be back that have been, you know, hampered with injuries for the Knicks. You know, this, even though they don't have OG and Randall, it's still really important for them to stack up wins. You guys were mentioning with, like, you know, the standings and stuff. Hopefully they can still, you know, stay above 500 and win more games and stuff, because right now you don't want to have to face the Bucks in the first round. You don't want to have a situation where you're playing the Miami Heat. I know people have been hampering them, but the Miami Heat always turn it on in the playoffs. You don't want to be a 4-5 seed where you got to play the Celtics in the second round. You want to have the opportunity to not, you know, the best possible route, because I don't think they're a championship team, but they're one of those teams that if something lines up correctly, you know, I think they're good enough to make some noise and have something special, but they need a little bit of luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Cullum. That would be such a buzzkill, man. If you find yourself going from where, you know, Zach Lowe and Kendrick Perkins are on NBA Today saying the Knicks could legitimately, you know, win the conference, to you're one and done because you lost too many games and you ended up with the Bucks in the first round. And then if you beat Milwaukee, you got to play the Celtics in the second round. That path becomes just much more arduous. But it all comes down to whether or not they can find a way to stack some wins, as Cullum just said, amidst all the injuries. 800-919-3776. We'll take a quick break. Bart, I don't know if you saw this yet. Jacob just put me onto this. But I don't know if you're going to be able to believe. The NFL just put out its top 10 catches of the 2023 season. I want to see if you can guess. Don't look at it. Don't cheat. Guess what the number one catch of the season was. And we'll do that when we get back right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I give you $10 if you can name the artist of this song right here.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Victoria Monet. Never heard that song, On My Mama?
Oh, yeah, On My Mama, yeah.
Victoria Monet, there we go.
On My Mama, On My Hood.
There you go.
There's so
you
many
know this song.
Yeah, but there's so many people coming out now, man. You have no idea who the hell is who. Like, whether it's from Britain artists or African artists.
I got a new
favorite. We're in a good space, though.
I've got a new favorite country singer.
And who's that?
I think if you could actually say she might be the greatest country singer of all time.
No, you better not say Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Man, get out of here, man. Like, see, this is what Beyonce does, man. She'll jump into a genre and try to act like she created the wheel.
Is she not acting like it? She's just talented enough to make her way into multiple genres and subgenres, and because you know that's what she does. She's the quote.
Remember, she tried to take I forgot what other genre she took, and the girl was like, "Yo, I've been doing this for years."
She was doing she dropped a dance album.
She dropped a great dance. Like, listen, I'm not a huge Beyonce fan, so like you can miss me with that.
What are you eating, by the way?
Nothing anymore.
What were you eating that you had to wait until we were getting back on to start eating it?
No, I started eating as soon as we went off.
What was it?
Oh, it was a hot sausage.
A hot sausage? You dip it in any condiments?
Yeah, of course.
Let me ask you a question real quick because I just thought about it. So this morning, and I'll get to the best catch of the season, pretty NFL. So this morning, Dave Rothenberg, you familiar with him?
I think I've heard of him.
You've heard it? So if he walked into the studio right now, would you have any clue who he is?
Yeah, a little bit. But if we were... If he,
a little
if
bit? If he's in you do or you don't.
No, if he was in the studio, maybe. But if I saw him, like, walking, like, say, in the lobby or something, or walking right, like, as I'm walking, like, at the garage or something like that...
You wouldn't have no clue.
No clue.
He's lost a lot of weight. He's looking really good. But anyway, so he did this segment this morning. Him and Dan were talking about, like, the people who would show up to his funeral if he had died. And your name came up, and he wasn't quite sure you would show up just because he doesn't think that there's all that familiarity between you two guys. So I wanted to ask you, if Dave unfortunately passed away, would you be at his funeral?
Depends on what day the funeral was. I mean,
So what's the day that it could fall on that you wouldn't be there?
Maybe the weekend, but if it was on a weekday and I can get a day off work.
So you'd only go if it facilitates you getting off work. So that's just like...
Well, I have to take off work, and they have to say, hey, you can get a paid day off.
But you're not going out of your way. Like, if it inconveniences you at all, you're not going to his funeral.
No, I wouldn't say totally, but yeah, if it was like doable, if it wasn't in like Long Island or something like that.
Man, so you just not feeling Dave like that? That the funeral wouldn't hit you hard? Would you cry?
Would I cry? Yeah. I mean, I would feel bad for his family.
But you wouldn't really care all that much. Like, you'd be over it the next day.
I'd be like, that's messed up. You know what I mean?
That's messed up.
It's like paid in full, man.
People die
people
every day.
People get shot every day,
people
B.
People die every day.
Oh, people get shot every day, B.
That's fat. Yo, this is a colleague of yours, bro.
But I don't work with him.
He died.
I can feel bad, but am I gonna cry? Like, yo, that's messed up, son. Like, it'll give me a great respect of like how fragile life is. But come on, man, like, stop it. That's like if somebody like that you never worked with on the show and talked to pass away. Like, stop it.
I don't know, man. How about, like...
Okay, if somebody in the mailroom at the job died, would you, do you care?
I don't know anyone from the mailroom. I would, you know, express my condolences. I can't say I would be depressed, but Dave's different because he's an on-air talent. I believe.
Yeah, but we don't work together.
But you've met him before. You've seen him.
Yes. So you're going to cry from everybody that you met if somebody passed?
No.
You're going to cry from everybody you met?
Maybe not cry, but I would expect a little bit more than, man, that's messed up.
Man, we've made...
And if your funeral falls on a weekend, I count me out.
I might send flowers. I might send an arrangement from the Allen and Barton Allen Hahn show.
Would you be able to do the radio show that day just because you would be overcome by sadness, or it's just not going to affect you all that much?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've lost teammates and had to go play the game. I'm going to do my job.
I feel you, man. Dave doesn't matter all that much. It's all good. And not everyone's going to have the same level of, you know,
I don't know Dave that much. He ain't pulling up to my funeral.
I think he would.
If he was bored and had nothing to do and he was going
to
get a day off.
I think he would pull up to your funeral. All right. If I had to ask you, NFL put out a package.
Now we lose Jake, then I'm pulling up because that's my dog.
Jake, you better show up to his funeral.
That's what I'm saying.
But
he's going to be there, weekend or whatever, rain, sleet, or shine.
Listen, if I walk out the door, I expect Bart Scott to do the same.
Yeah, baby Ariza, you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
You going to pull one up for him? You know, because that's what you got to go out there in the streets and pull one out for my homie Jacob. You'll do that for him?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to get jacked up.
All right, let me ask you this. NFL put out a package, the 10 highlights, touchdown passes of the season, the best catches of the year. What'd you think ended up number one on that list?
I only can think of one.
Right? What's that one?
It's the T. Higgins touchdown where he caught it and he spent over and crossed the plane.
Well, here was the touchdown of the year, best catch of the entire 2023 season per the NFL.
Dalvin Cook, the lone setback at the 4-yard line, second down and goal. Zach Wilson drops back, lob left for Garrett Wilson. One-handed catch. Oh, he's got it. That's a jet touchdown. Garrett Wilson with an unbelievable self-tip. The one-handed snag. And the Jets are a point after away from a tie.
Week one, Monday Night Football against the Bills. Garrett Wilson tapping it to himself.
No way. First of all, it was a horrible throw.
The throw was insane, find it comedic that the best catch of the season comes out of the hands of Zach Wilson. I think there's some humor to that.
Yeah, stop it, man. Like, listen, I hope they figure out a way to get something for him. Like, I'm not mad at what Tannenbaum said. Tannenbaum's had a bunch of drunk takes this week. But the one about Zach Wilson, and who cares? I'll give a fifth-round draft pick for a guy like Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, I definitely would make that one.
Why are the Broncos interested in that?
Because Sean Payton thinks that he's a quarterback guru, and you know they really don't have much options because they have to pay $39 million for Russell Wilson no matter what. So it's not like they're going to be able to go out and spend a lot of money for a replacement for him. So why not get a guy like Zach Wilson that you still have control over his contract? You know, for the next 2 years, you can not pick up his option and have him this year, and maybe you see something from him.
But if,
and he has the arm talent, right? He's short, small, like Drew Brees.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to put him in best position to succeed by giving him someone like, I don't know, Jerry Jeudy to throw to?
No, because remember, they still have the guy, Pat, coming back that was injured last year.
Oh, yeah, tore his ACL
you have Sutton still there. So you already have great receivers there with Jeudy or without Jeudy. You have a strong run game as well. You have a top-notch defense, right? So, like, what don't you have? You have everything you need. You still have people for him to throw the ball to, and he still has to win the job as well.
I don't know, man. When Tannenbaum, and they actually did this on First Take today, said that the Jets should sign Russell Wilson as their backup quarterback.
I told him that was trash on Monday. So the fact that he's still trying to let that live, like, stop it, man. He's just trying to mention Sierra.
Yeah, because Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett worked so well in Denver. We need to see that here in New York.
And you think Aaron Rodgers wants somebody that is confused about what his job
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Like, stop it. Aaron Rodgers not putting up with that. This dude doing interviews. Like I told Tannenbaum, this would be as distracting as you signing Tim Tebow sitting over there, third string quarterback, giving press conferences.
Yeah, that made no sense either. When they had Mark Sanchez here, they had Tim Tebow on the special teams.
Yeah, like, bro, what are we doing?
Another thing football related that I came across that I wanted to run by you, Greeny on Get Up had the top five moves he wanted to see this offseason.
Mm-hmm. I was there when he revealed it yesterday.
Davante Adams to the Jets. Now, that's curious to me because Vegas is hell-bent on getting a quarterback because Aiden O'Connell's not the guy and they're moving on from Jimmy G, who's been busted for roids. Wouldn't you want to, I don't know, have the maybe the best receiver in football on the team so that your new quarterback can throw him the football?
Yeah, I mean, but you have to also have a level of respect and sensitivity for Davante Adams. You're nowhere near winning a championship, and Davante Adams is in his 32, 33 years old, and it's getting to the point now where he wants to try and have an opportunity to win a championship. You can't provide that for him, so let's see what you can get for him. You know, and they can go replace Davante Adams if they choose to with a younger receiver that's going to give you a longer life expectancy, so when you are ready to win, you can play.
That part of it, but even for the Jets, as much as I would love, and you know, I'm a diehard fan.
I'm not worried about the Jets if they don't get.
I'm saying let's just play the scenario out. Even if the Jets were like involved in some type of trade like this, I just look at this team and I say, first of all, you don't have a second round pick.
That don't matter.
You got way too many holes on this team to trade for Davante. Much as I would love him because it makes sense, I just like when you look at the capital and what you need.
No. The biggest hole in the Jets, one of the biggest holes in their lineup.
I like you corrected that because you were going to say the biggest hole, and receiver's not the biggest hole.
Yeah,
The
second biggest hole is the receiver, right? So if you can trade. And this is why trading for Davante Adams is much better than being in the Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, Mike Evans sweepstakes. If you take those guys and go that route, now you talk about paying them $21 million a year. That's a big price. And it's going to have to be a five-year deal for anybody that's not named Mike Evans. Anybody else is going to be young. This is their second deal. They're going to want 5 years. So 5 years is going to prohibit you from being able to sign Garrett Wilson, who's a homegrown player that you got to pay at the end of 3 years. Because the same issues that they would have is the issues that Jaden Waddle is going to have because you're paying Tyreek Hill $22 million. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay him $22 million?
Bengals are going through with T. Higgins and Chase and Burrow.
Exactly. And it's exactly what Davante, what they're going to have to deal with the Eagles as well. When you think about, you know, Devontae Smith
and A.J. Brown. Yep.
So why the trade for Davante Adams makes so much more sense is, one, because if you trade for him, his money has been paid at the front end of his deal. So now you only owe him $17 million, which is only $2 million more than what you were paying Corey Davis.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the money, Bart. I'm worried about the fact that you have so many holes on your roster and you're now giving up draft picks trade for this guy.
You're giving up a 25 draft pick. You're giving up a 25 draft, second-round draft pick, right? Remember, Randy Moss went for a fourth-round draft pick, and he was younger than Davante Adams. They can't get that much for Davante Adams. So what I'm saying is, giving up that draft capital, that second-round draft pick you get, is he going to be Davante Adams trying to win, and you're trying to win this year?
No.
So why do you care about the draft capital? It's just future assets
if
that
it's
may
a future
or may not
pick,
be good.
Then, you know, obviously, if it's a future pick, the whole tenor of the conversation changes.
It's not a first-round draft pick, so who cares?
Well, the team that has, you know, 8 billion holes on the offensive line cares.
They don't listen, that's not an issue.
Because offensive line, is that an issue?
Draft picks for a offensive line is not an issue. I'm not trying to build my offensive line through the draft this year. I'm getting one through the draft, and I'm buying two.
You know what? I thought that this was a cut Jacob accidentally played from last year because you said the same thing last year and didn't look that bit them this time around. They've got, three guys? You got now they're talking up Carter Warren in addition to AVT being a part of that, and then Max Mitchell. So you might have two or three guys you got to come in and play offensive line for you, through the draft or through free agency.
No, you don't. So, like, what I'm saying is this year, I'm – like, the Jets aren't going to pick up Becton's option. I'm not bringing him back. So they have options to go out and buy what they need. This is a good draft. This is a good free agency. It's a good draft for tackles, so you go get your tackle through the draft. This is a outstanding free agency four offensive linemen, right? You have Kevin Zeitler that the Ravens can't re-sign back. He's a guy that you can give a 1 or 2 year deal. He's one of the best guards in the business. You got Kevin Dotson out there for the Rams that plays an outstanding right tackle. You have Connor Williams, who's an outstanding center. You know, he's arguably one of the best centers in the AFC for Miami, right? Miami can't pay a lot of people because all the money that they're spending. And they got to get Tua Tagovailoa probably about $55 to $60 million
yeah.
this year.
A guy who can't play in cold weather and so beat good teams. Good luck, Miami.
So this is where Tippmann comes into play. The fact that Tippmann can play center or guard. So if you go out and say, I'm just trying to get good players. Right, so I'll go get Connor Williams. Right, Connor Williams is an outstanding center. We would all agree with that, right? Where it's a captain, they may not be able to sign him back. He was brought in this league as a tackle, played guard, but he's excelled at center. So if you go get him, then you move Tippmann to guard, right? So now that's two right there. You hoping that Vera Tucker can stay healthy? That gives you three.
Oh, that's
good
a big question, Bart. Hold on, hang on.
It can't
just zoom past that
because that's two straight years of significant injuries. I'm not. Well, the injury last year, the torn pec, that's not a big deal. The ACL is what
missing
stops
most of the season, back to back years. Yes, that's a big deal.
It is, but what I'm saying, the injury as far as being able to recover from and being able to be the same player isn't a big deal. Whenever it's a knee, a neck, or a ACL, those are major injuries that affect the quality of player you are. Torn biceps or torn pectorals isn't one of those things that you don't come back from and be the same person.
No, I get that. I'm saying both of them in concert, and the fact that you've now spent back-to-back years recovering from season-ending injuries.
Yes, I am with you with that. So now you talk about, okay, well, if we can't get them, let's go out and let's look at a guy like Cushenberry III, right? Who's a great center out there for the Broncos. So what I'm saying is, because of Tippmann's versatility, it allows you to just go get the best interior guy out there, right? And it is some high end guys out there. If you talk about from the tackle position, you talk about a guy like Mike Iwuanu, right? He's a tackle for the Patriots. Right, so you can go there. So what I'm saying is, it is a lot of depth out there at the offensive line, guys that play at high levels, and the Jets are still in position to take the best tackle out there. So what I'm saying is, they're going to have to find three new starters, and I don't want my three new starters. I only want one to be a rookie, and I want the other two to be proven guys. And I'm letting Lakeland Thomas
see
later.
Other teams are going to be bidding on the just as much as you can talk them up. Other teams feel the same way, which is going to drive the price up. And that just because you want them doesn't necessarily mean they're going to come here.
But you're going to spend the price, and this is where we see really what the value of having Aaron Rodgers is. Because before, you couldn't see what the Aaron Rodgers effect was, simply because nobody really knew if he was coming here for sure. So free agency was over with. We were damn near at the draft, and we still didn't know if he was coming. But now they know that he's here, off of free agent, know that he could have came back and played last year. So now let's see who he's able to attract. Who wants to say, okay.
Like 37-year-old David Bakhtiari, who I already see.
No. I'm not talking about players like that. I'm talking about players that are trying to win championships. So, listen, I think that they're going to address it with three new starters on the offensive line and hope that Vera Tucker can stay healthy. And Vera Tucker's ability to play guard or tackle gives them the ability to take the best, most dominant free agent that's available, not specific to the position, because they need so much help. And you hope a guy like Carter Warren can take the next step. Right, and that's where you're at.
No, that is a lot of pressure and a lot of faith.
Can you tell me this? Who was the best lineman for Peyton Manning, and who was the best lineman that you can remember for Tom Brady?
You said the best lineman I can remember for Jeff Saturday.
And Jeff Saturday wasn't even that good. I'm being totally honest. He was a good, solid player that Peyton Manning made better. He wasn't anybody that anybody had in
the scouting. No, I get what you're saying. Well, here's my only part. We got to hit a break real quick. My only point, really, to put a bow on this, is that a lot has to happen. We both acknowledge this offseason, and we're putting all that pressure and faith in a general manager, mm-hmm. who for 5 years has not been able to get it done. So it's a big offseason.
Yeah, at the offensive line. But you can't knock his record on everything else.
Well, quarterback. Zach Wilson, that was a disaster.
Well, that's not exact science. But like, so he only had one swing at a quarterback.
Yeah,
right?
And he badly missed.
But look at the other things that he's done.
The offensive line. Ryan Khalil. Yeah.
What about receiver?
He's hit Garrett and Breece and Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. What about corner?
Hoffman and Reed. DJ Reed. Yes, he's hit on a lot of these guys. I understand that, but the misses, it's like baseball, right? Yep. Like, he hits a lot of home runs, but that batting average is awfully low, man. When you're striking out to that degree on those important pieces, there's gonna be a lot of pressure on you. And there's a reason why Woody didn't come out and say it, but when you heard him on the carpet saying these guys better win this year. 800-919-3776. The phone calls are coming in about the Jets. Barton Heim brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Quick break, right back on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's time to step aside. Let the headlines do the talking in a segment we like to call
Audio Files.
I'm supposed to hit the gong.
That's right, you're supposed to hit the gong.
Audio Files. Damn it!
Very sour sounding gong there.
Oh, man.
Wait, did you hit the bottom? You were too far out? You got them T-Rex arms?
I panicked.
Used to Allen long arms?
Yeah, I panicked. My hands were fidgety. My palms are sweaty. Knees were gone, so heavy.
Is this a re-rack situation? I think we need to re-rack.
All right, let's do it. It is time for us to step aside, let the headlines do the talking, in a segment we like to call
Audio Files. Where are you hitting it at, man? Are you hitting it with a flat pan or a skillet?
Well, I knocked it over. He got to be hitting it right in the middle.
He knocked it off.
See what happens when you take all that creatine? See what happens when you take all that creatine and you go to Retro Fitness twice a week?
Nah, this thing is like put in a weird spot. I'm a righty. I got to hit it with like a backhand. It's not my fault. I got a question for you, man. So let's hear from Justin Fields.
Doc Rivers.
Making excuses. Oh, it's everyone else's fault. I just need an Austin Rivers to defend me. Justin Fields was asked why he unfollowed the Bears on Instagram. This was on the St. Brown Bros podcast, courtesy of the 33rd team.
What's with the unfollow with the Bears? What's up with that?
Man, bro, I'm glad we're talking about it, because why do people take social media so serious? Like,
but like, why are you unfollowing the Bears?
Like, I still mess with the Bears. It's not, I'm just trying to take a little break. I unfollow the Bears and the NFL, bro. I'm not just trying to have football on my timeline. Mm. I know y'all mess with a girl, EQ, especially you. Just because you don't follow the girl on IG don't mean you're not messing with her.
That's true. You know? That's true. That's facts.
Oh, so you're saying you mess with the Bears more now that you unfollow them?
Man, it's not even like that.
Okay.
It's something that I don't want to see in my timeline. I'm about to go on vacation. I don't want to see no football. And guess what?
Just get away. Get a little away for a little bit.
It's either keep Fields. We want Fields to draft Caleb. So it's like, bruh. Man, I'm tired of hearing the talk. I just want it to be over.
Yeah, so here's the problem, Justin. If the analogy is to be played out accurately, it's being in a relationship with a girl who you follow, and in the midst of said relationship, you decide to unfollow her. Yes, that can be, a type of whistleblower on something that's happening here. So what do you got to say about this, Bart?
Well, to continue to go with that analogy, what if that, you know, that girl is, you know, being seen with somebody else or sliding somebody else's DMs, and they like, and it's like an option if they're gonna stay with you or not. What if it's Larissa Pippen? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, whatever. We don't say her real name. She gets no respect here. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, let's take the Pippen up out of her name because ain't no P-I-P-P-E-N in her name. She didn't deserve the title anyway. Anyway, but you know, so I understand what he's saying, right? And we've all been there. Whether we go viral, right? And I'm sure, you know, everybody on this line has probably went viral before, and you see people coming in your mentions and they bothering you, or stories or reports are coming down and people tagging you in stories. And so, like, it's just in your face. So you're like, man, listen, I just need to take a break. This is going to be what it's going to be. Whenever they make their decision, they'll let me know. But I'm about to go on vacay. I don't want to pick up my phone because, you know, if he's a single man, he out there strolling. There's girls in his DMs, but he don't want to see the stories about himself sitting there about people hating about things he can't control. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to unfollow him. And then I'm just going to, you know, be on my hood rat stuff, you know what I'm saying, because I'm about to go on vacation. I got a pocket full of money, you know what I'm saying? I'm cocked like a pistol. It's time to go out here and spread love and multiply.
Yeah, I think the Bears have to trade him. We'll see what happens there. We've got to roll through this quickly just because we're up against the clock. Allen Iverson on the Big Pod. What would you average in the NBA today?
Ain't that too much?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, if I averaged 30, I lost the scoring title to Kobe the year he averaged 35. I averaged 33. And I'm just thinking, like, if I was to play in this area where it's wide open, if I can average 33 in a season, I'm going to just take it up to 43.
Man.
I know 10 points more.
Is there an all-time great player who exists who doesn't feel the same way Allen Iverson? Because that's all you hear. Yeah. In this league, I'd average. So let me ask you a question. Who's the better scorer, Steph Curry or Allen Iverson?
I would probably say Steph Curry because he's hitting threes
and not two. So why is Steph Curry not averaging 43?
Because he actually passes the ball sometimes.
Who's the better
Allen
scorer?
Allen Iverson did not score, not pass a rock.
Who's the better scorer, KD or Allen Iverson?
See, that's hard to say.
Why isn't KD averaging 43? Why isn't LeBron or Luke? Like, so these players.
Listen, we all know. Listen, and it's not just unique to basketball. I mean, you think Dan Marino don't think he was throwing for 5,000 yards in 14 games?
Yep.
You don't think he'll think like, yo, I can probably throw for 6,000? You're damn right. He probably could because they're so much smarter. And they understand, like, you can say that players nowadays are better, but I think some of the players back then understood how to play basketball better, right, and being able to get your shots. Allen Iverson would probably take, you know, because KD's shooting – And Steph is shooting threes, he's going in and going to get fouled. So he's going to get more opportunities. Allen Iverson, with how he attacks the basket and how easy you can draw fouls now, he probably would get an extra 15. He'll probably get an extra 8 of those points would probably come in free throw attempts.
Yeah, I don't see it. 800-919-3.
Hold on. You don't think Allen Iverson would average
43? No.
He averaged 33. You don't think he can average 5 more points? Just because him going to the basket, more fouls, and he'll get more foul attempts, and he'll probably be developing, take more threes.
But see, the reason why I love these conversations because people always think that it works one way. Could Allen Iverson absolutely excel in today's game offensively? Sure. Would those teams then target him on defense and make him play and get him into foul trouble? It's not like he just gets all the benefits of this year's offense and none of the, you know, shortcomings defensively.
Yeah, but he's going to get
all the negatives.
He's going to get more attempts too because the game is faster as well, right?
So yeah.
He's going to get more attempts. It's going to be more.
He was one of the best scorers in 2001. We won the MVP, and in the year Kobe got the scoring title, he averaged 33. But at 43, come on.
Tell me this: what would Randy Moss average in this era of football?
No, he would. He would be excellent,
right? So,
but
so
I
that's
think
the
there's
thing.
An exaggeration to it sometimes way these guys talk. Ten points—that's a lot of points.
10 points may be an exaggeration. 5 isn't.
Maybe not. I can meet him there. Would he be one of the best scorers in basketball? Sure. At 43 a game, come on.
Okay,
stop.
38.
I don't know, man.
He averaged 33. What the hell are you talking about?
No, I get it, but 38 is still a lot.
5 more points?
That's still a lot of points.
What do you mean? One year James Harden averaged 35.
Yeah, he did. And you got it the way that you're talking about, hitting threes and shooting free throws.
But you don't think that Allen Iverson in today's game would shoot more threes?
Maybe. If he could
it. So that's more points. Come on, Allen Iverson can't shoot a three. Come on, man.
I'm not saying he couldn't, though. I'm not saying he couldn't. My problem is when people pretend that it's that easy, they just exaggerate to that point. Well, yeah, I can average 10 more points. I can increase my scoring by 33% of what I did the year I averaged 33.
What do you think Jordan would say, how many more points he would average if he played in this game?
He'd say the same thing.
Because he ain't shoot threes.
And there are people who I have friends who are like, oh, Jordan would average 50 in this game. Really?
If he averaged 35, it would be safe that you could say, if Jordan said he would average 43, you wouldn't say nothing, would you?
Oh, I mean, he's Jordan. He's not Allen Iverson. He's Jordan. He's the second best player of all time, of course. I'm going to
give him that. First of all, you're going to quit. I'm not going to gloss over that. Listen, every time you say it, I'm going to stop and check your ass.
I'm doing it just for you. 800-919-3776. Back with our number three, Barton Hahn, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, yes, but first, Bart, let's put it up, please. Yes, my friends from Sanwell. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shaw. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time to reclaim your active lifestyle. And you say, Bart, how do I do that? I'll tell you how. Call my friend Dr. Jay Shaw today at Sanwell Pain. Dr. Shaw treats joint, neck, back, sciatic, and nerve pain. Dr. Shaw also is a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, no scars, no incision, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shaw and take a non-surgical approach with a precise, image-guided procedures without any pain medication. Enjoy a pain-free life. Same day or next day appointments are available. Go to SanwellPain.com and put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shaw. Go to SanwellPain.com now and regain your active lifestyle and enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Sanwell Pain now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SanwellPain.com. You wish you met Dr. Jay Shaw a lot sooner. Most major insurances are accepted.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.